The gospel is continuing this theme from the past few weeks, these challenging parables that Jesus is giving to the religious leaders. And as we remember, this is what we would call Holy Week, just in the days before he goes to the Passion and the crucifixion. And these very men to whom he is speaking are the ones who are going to turn him over, the ones who will be calling for his death. He's in a face-to-face battle with the enemy. He's trying all these parables, telling all these stories, trying to get them to see the reality of what's going on. In the last few weeks, they were even able to tell Jesus what the effect of their bad decisions would be, and yet they still maintained. And Jesus today gives us this great parable about this wonderful wedding feast that a king gives for his son, inviting the people, but being rejected. Inviting them again. Once again, rejected because those people have more important things to do. And finally, killing those servants who were sent, the messengers. This is a synopsis of salvation history. It's easy to see, I hope, that the king is God and the son is Jesus. And the great wedding feast, this marriage, this banquet, is the celebration of new life that we're all called to, that we've all been invited to. But in the Old Testament, and even in the day of Jesus, time and time again, the invitation was rejected. The people simply have more important things to do than to go to the banquet. We live in a very privileged time where we can have banquets pretty much any time we want to. Most of us can. Grocery store shelves are usually stocked with the things that we need. Our refrigerators are overflowing. Our cabinets are overflowing. Like that mountain from Isaiah in the first reading, we are overflowing with choice wines and choice meats. So maybe we're not so intrigued by this invitation to a wedding reception. But when that may have been the only feast and banquet that you had an opportunity to go to that year, or maybe your whole life, and to be a subject of the king, and to simply refuse to go, to reject, we don't really have the concepts, the constructs in our minds to understand the depth of the rejection. There have been no reason, no justifiable reason, for anyone to say no to the invitation. It simply did not make any sense. But in our day, we turn down invitations all the time. There's so much going on in our lives, there's so much busyness that we have to pick and choose our invitations, the things that we go to. But this would not have been the case for the people hearing this message from Jesus. But even though our situation today may be different, we need to hear it in the same way. Because we are invited to this wedding banquet. And there is nothing more important than to say yes to the invitation. And so that's the first part of this story. And it's a continuation of the theme from the last few weeks. It's refusal to say yes to Jesus. But maybe for us who are here, maybe the second part applies to us. That they went out to get the good and the bad alike, and everyone was in the hall. And that's a good idea, a good point for us to reflect on. The good and the bad alike were invited and were in the hall. So often we think that the church is for the perfect, And because of that, we put on our perfect face. And we show ourselves to our neighbors that we have everything all together. That there's nothing wrong with my marriage, there's nothing wrong with my kids, there's nothing wrong with my health. Everything is fine. We live these plastic lives of a carefully crafted image, when the reality is that the good and the bad alike are here. And the real reality is the good and the bad reside in our hearts, that we're not yet perfect. And so we all need to be overcome with joy and gratitude that we don't need to show our perfection card to get in. But contrary to the popular song that all are welcome and the lie, the heresy, the diabolical twist of universalism that everybody gets to go to heaven no matter what, just be a good person or not as bad as that other person, the gospel today throws that out with the man who wasn't dressed properly. And if you got the email, I made a comment about that. But this is not about how we dress for Mass. But that doesn't mean that how we dress for Mass is not important. But that might be a time, a talk for another time. The man was kicked out because he didn't have the wedding garment. Seems kind of harsh. He said, go invite everybody, and then he come, and now I'm getting kicked out. That's not fair. The king would have had supplied to everyone the garment. So the man had the garment, he just chose not to wear it. And when we read the Old Testament and in through the New Testament, we come to understanding what that garment is and what is necessary for us to enter into and remain in communion. It's a life of grace, reflected in the choices that we make. The end of the collect, the opening prayer this evening, helps. We pray for the grace to continue in the good works. In Revelation chapter 19, it says the garment is the righteous deeds that we have done. So not only is the lie that everybody gets to go to heaven a lie, but also the lie of you just need to have faith. Just make a commitment to Jesus at one time in your life and then you're guaranteed salvation. That's a lie. And it's preached by many people, even some within the church. It's a lie. It's a lie that we have to earn our way, that our good works make us worthy. Our good works are a response to this beautiful gift of the invitation, to this great wedding feast, this amazing banquet. And for us, some of us go to wedding receptions maybe every weekend or twice a month or whatever, because everybody's getting married. And it's a 2 or 3 hour event, and you know, sometimes it's a hassle. You gotta find a babysitter and this, that, and the other. This would have been a week-long event at least, and everybody would have been there. Everybody would have come to rejoice with the king at this beautiful event in his son's life. It was an invitation to celebrate, an invitation to joy. And if the church has failed in her mission in the last decades, it's perhaps we haven't communicated the joy of the gospel, the invitation to joy. Our life is incomplete without Jesus Christ. And that all the things that we try to fill our pockets with to give us happiness for a moment will all fade away. That all we really need is Jesus. This is the secret that St. Paul found. That beautiful passage from Philippians chapter 4. The entire letter is a beautiful letter. We started it last week with, have no anxiety, but make your request known to God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind. And think about the good things. Dwell on those. Imitate me, St. Paul says. Why? Because he says today, I've learned the secret. I can be on top of the mountain, in the bottom of the pit. I don't care, because I know Jesus. And he ends that letter with, God will fully supply for all of your needs. That's the secret. It's coming to that point in your life where you can trust that Jesus will fully supply for all of your needs. We oftentimes get disappointed because he doesn't give us our wants. But he fully supplies for everything that we need. And so perhaps the invitation we have this evening is to let Jesus be enough for us. To stop trying to increase the stuff that we have. So much stuff that we have to go buy a storage unit to hide our stuff because we can't fit it in our house. That's too big for us anyway. We're gluttonous in the things that we buy because we're looking for the one thing that we need, and that is Jesus. Jesus gives us everything that we need. And as we respond to that great gift, it's manifested in the deeds that we do, the works of charity that we perform. And that's going to be the test, is whether we get to stay in or not. So we've responded to the invitation. The good and the bad alike are here. And so we ask for that grace to be like St. Paul, to learn the secret that Jesus is enough and that he will fully supply for all of our needs. Amen.